Today is week two of a series we've entitled Joe's Story. And we're spending 7 weeks on this, breaking down the story of Joseph back in Genesis, and we're looking at how God is working in his life. And as we see that God works in his life and God does different things for Joseph, we can also figure out that this is how God works in our lives. And we can take some comfort and solace in this. So as we're looking at Joe's story, we're going to be discovering more about our story. Now, last week, we explored that God gives dreams, and he shows us his plans for our life story, plans that give us a future and a hope. And today, we're asking the question, are we special to God? Now, if you came today looking for hope, for peace, for purpose, for focus to your life, then I've got some really good news. There is hope found in Jesus. And at the end of this message, I'm going to give you the opportunity to receive that hope. I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 37. Genesis 37. We're going to be reading out the New Living Translation. You can be using your paper Bible or your Bible app on your phone. And at the top of your Bible app, there's some little letters, three letters, that show what translation of Bible you're using. We're using the NLT one this morning. Now, when you came in today, you should have received a bulletin. And in that bulletin, there's a half sheet notes where you can follow along with today's message. There's some fill in the blanks to keep you awake so you can follow along. The answers are going to be on the screen. But also, we provide this so that you can use the notes later on this week. We advise you to take maybe Wednesday or Thursday and say, hey, I'm going to pull this back out and I'm going to reread what the pastor talked about and see if it's really what the Bible says, because we don't want you to just take my word for it. You need to take God's word for it and look to see what God's word says to you in this area. So here we go. Genesis chapter 37. We're going to be talking about a guy named Joseph, and we're going to be talking about a guy, his dad, named Jacob. Now, Jacob is important in the Bible because of his lineage, who his dad was and who his dad was. So we're going to back it up for just a second that we've got Joseph. We've got Jacob. Jacob's dad was Isaac. And Isaac was the only son of Abraham, who God gave a promise that, hey, I'm going to bless all nations through you, that your descendants are going to be more numerous than the stars in the skies and the sands on the beach. And so we're looking at lineage here and dads. So we're reading Genesis chapter 37, verses 1 through 4. It says this. So Jacob settled again in the land of Canaan, where his father had lived as a foreigner. This is the account of Jacob and his family. When Joseph was 17 years old, he often tended his father's flocks. He worked for his half-brothers, the sons of his father's wives, Bilhah and Zilpah. But Joseph reported to his father some of the bad things his brothers were doing. That's what little brothers do, right? Verse 3, Jacob loved Joseph more than any of his other children because Joseph had been born to him in his old age. So one day, Jacob had a special gift made for Joseph, a beautiful robe. But his brothers hated Joseph because their father loved him more than the rest of them. They couldn't say a kind word to him. Let's pray. God, I pray that for the next few moments as we unpack your word for us today, I pray that you would speak to us. Lord, that you would show us how you work, that as we see the example in Joe's life, Lord, we see how you work in our lives. Lord, speak to our hearts and to our minds. We love you today. In Jesus' name, we all said, amen. We're asking the question, are you special to God? And how do we know that we're special? I mean, actually, a lot of times we think we are not special, that we are plain, that we are boring, that we're not special to anyone. And when it comes to God, we often wonder, does he even care about us? Does he even care? Now, we talked last week about the movie Toy Story and the whole series of Toy Story, and we were quite shocked to find out that it's been a long time since the first movie came out, 1995, long time ago. Dinosaurs were around then, right? Yeah. But in the basis of the story, the toys knew that they were special, that they belonged to somebody because their name, the owner's name, was written on the bottom of their shoe. that Woody could look in the bottom of his boot, and what does it read? Andy, their boy's name. They knew that they belonged. And this was something that through the course of the movies, they kept on reminding each other this, that we belong to somebody. And I want you to take a look at this montage of saying that I belong to you, of these toys who look at this, but I want you to catch closely the words of what they're actually saying, because it's the song. It's not a Toy Story song. It's a song speaking about our relationship with God. Let's take a look.
Wouldn't even be together if it weren't for Andy. Look under your boot, Buzz. You too, Jesse. Whose name is written there?
Maybe Andy doesn't care about us anymore.
Today is Father's Day, and I think it's highly appropriate that we're actually looking about the relationship of Joe and his dad at the very beginning of the story. Now, if you've been paying attention, you would realize that we kind of went out of order last week, and so that makes this week a prequel to last week's story of Joe. You know, someone said I like Star Wars too much, you know, putting prequels in here. But we're talking about Jacob loving his son Joseph and loving him a lot. And when we think about Father's Day, we think about fathers, and for some, this is a joyous occasion. They're like, hey, I celebrate my dad. My dad was awesome. He was my rock, and he taught me everything I know, and he had good advice for me. And there's others who say Father's Day is the worst day for me because my dad wasn't there, or my dad hurt me, or he was just a terrible example, and I never want to know him, and he's made me who I am. No matter which side of the spectrum you are on, we get our identities from our dad. Whether it's a last name, whether it's DNA and how we look, maybe it's the skills or experiences we have, maybe it's the encouragement, or maybe it's the lack of those kinds of things. We get our identity from our dads. Our dads affect us in this way. Jacob loved his son Joseph. And as we just read in the first few verses of chapter 37 in Genesis, we see a reason. The Bible puts a reason. The writer puts a reason as to why Jacob loved Joseph. And the answer was because he had him in his old age. But if we were to read a few chapters earlier, we'd find that's not really the story. There's something we got to fix here of our understanding, because it's not that they got it wrong. We're not fixing the Bible here, but the writer is downplaying just how important or why Jacob loves Joseph. So in order for us to understand why he would love him so much more than the other brothers, we have to back up the story and go to the prequel of this story. And it goes back to chapter 29 and chapter 30 of the book of Genesis. And what we have is we have Jacob, who is a young man, and he's being sent out by his mom. He said, hey, you need to go visit relatives in this area because we don't want you getting a wife from this group of people where we live. We want you to go back where we're from. We want you to find a wife over here. And he went and visited a town, and who he's going to visit was his uncle Laban. And when he visited Laban, he had an interaction with a young lady who he thought was wow. He looked at her, he's like, wow. And the Bible described her that she was nice to look at. Okay, so the Bible is true. So if the Bible writes that someone was nice to look at, then they must have been really nice to look at, okay? And Joseph was smitten with her and said, wow, that girl there, she's going to be my wife. Now, just the other day, I was having a conversation with my oldest son, and he just graduated high school, and he's about to go off to Bible college to study to be a pastor. And he was asking me some deep questions. And he said, Dad, like, what happens? You know, I'm going to finish school, and, you know, I'm going to get a pastor job, right? And I said, yeah. He said, but, Dad, every time I've talked to you, you've talked about how when you hire a pastor to work for you, you're looking for a couple. He's like, what happens if I graduate Bible school and there's nobody there with me? I'm not married. And I said, dude, do you not even know that Bible school, that the girls go there for MRS degrees? And he's like, I don't get it, Dad. I'm like, MRS? And he's like, still don't get it, Dad. I'm like, are you graduating? Okay. I had to break it down what MRS stood for. And he's like, oh, the light bulb, bing, he got it. He's like, oh. He's like, but why is that? That sounds like so archaic and, you know, just, you know, that sounds mean. And really, I said, you know, it's not a downplay on the role of who goes to Bible school, who God calls to ministry. But I said, when you're looking for a life partner, but God has called you to something special, and he said, hey, I want you to minister to people, the most likely place that you're going to find somebody who also has a similar calling is going to be at Bible school as well. So that's kind of a natural thing. That's how your mom and I met. And so we're excited. He's going off to Bible school, and we're excited that he's finally figured out that, oh, okay. But I said, school is more important. I emphasize that. School is more important. If you'll take care of that part, God will take care of his part, right? There we go. So Jacob is going to this foreign land. He's meeting up with his uncle. He finds this girl. He says, wow, this girl is amazing. I would like her to be my wife. And so he talked to Laban, and he makes a deal with Laban. He says, I'll tell you what. I'll work for you. I will help shepherd all your herds and your sheep, your goats, your cattle, everything you have. He said, I'll work for you for 7 years if you'll let me marry Rachel. And Laban says, oh, awesome, free labor. And so Jacob works for 7 years, and it's time for the wedding, and they have the wedding ceremony, and it's time for the wedding night. And the Bible describes that Jacob has a surprise. Now, I'm just going to guess for a moment that in the wedding culture of back then, they really veiled the bride. Because the surprise was that he got married to the wrong sister. Laban pulled a trick on him and said, hey, I'm not going to let my youngest daughter marry first, so guess what? You just worked 7 years for my oldest daughter. And Jacob's like, what? Wait a second. He had a fast one pulled on him. And he was married to Leah. And Laban said, hey, I'll make a new deal with you. You really want to marry Rachel? And he said, yeah, that's what I really want. He said, well, if you work for me for 7 more years, you can have Rachel as your wife as well. And as he worked those many years longer, he had kids with Leah, and he had kids, but he did not have any kids with Rachel. She couldn't have kids for quite a long while. And so he had 10 sons and a daughter in his time before he had any children with Rachel, but he loved Rachel a lot. And so it was quite, by the time that Rachel became pregnant with a son, indeed, Jacob was a lot older. And the son's name was Joseph, the first son born of the woman that he loved, that he met long ago, that he worked so hard for, and he got. And so when the Bible's saying, hey, he loved Joseph because, hey, he had him in his old age, it really was that he loved Joseph because he was the child of the woman that he loved. And so Joseph was special to him, and there's a reason why he was special compared to all the other brothers. So he had 12 sons, and Joseph fell as number 11. Now, even more important, I think, in this instance is that shortly thereafter Joseph came along, he had a younger brother come along named Benjamin. Rachel had a second son, and Rachel died giving birth to Benjamin. And so really, when Jacob looked at Joseph, he was being reminded of his love for Rachel because he no longer had Rachel around. So this is a big deal. This is a big deal that Jacob loved Joseph, and it's a big deal that we saw that the other brothers are jealous. And in this verse we looked at, and by understanding the backstory, we see that there was a big price that was paid to get to the point that Jacob had Joseph. You see, when you belong, you're worth it. That there is a price. When Jacob looked at Joseph, he said, wow, he was worth it. I paid a lot to get to this point to have this son. He was worth it. Now, I want to bring up my son, my youngest son, up on stage. His name is Radley. Radley, can you come up here with me? Let's give a hand to Radley as he comes up. Radley is an amazing young man. He's also the source for a lot of funny stories and a lot of things he says. He's just got a way with words that entertains us. And it's actually kind of fitting that Radley here, he shares two names with me. He shares not just my last name, but he also shares my middle name. And our middle name is?
Joseph.
Joseph. That's right. We both have a middle name of Joseph. And we also share that with our grandpa, whose middle name is Joseph. And that comes from his dad, whose first name was Joseph. So we kind of have Joe's story happening in multiple places here. Now, in case Radley ever forgets that he's my son, I've done something to make sure that he knows he belongs to me. I heard someone say, Radley, I think you need to show them your shoe. He has no idea. You got to show them. You got to stick that foot up there for everybody to see. On the bottom of his shoe, it says Ryan. And he's like, Dad, when'd you do that? Yeah, there's nothing on the bottom of my shoe. Wait, let me check. There we go. There's nothing there. Okay. Yeah, well, that was a surprise, wasn't it?
Yeah, kind of.
Kind of. Did you know it was there?
Nope.
There you go. He had no idea. He's been wearing his shoes all morning. Put them on and everything. And he's like, Dad, does that come off? You know. No, it does not. Okay. Permanent marker. You belong to me. Sorry. Well, Radley is my youngest son. I love all my kids. Radley's special just because, you know, babies in the family are special. And there's a lot of sentiment with that, you know, it's going to be your last child and there's going to be a lot of lasts. And Radley just celebrated a last for us that we're trying not to compute in our brain that he just finished elementary school and is moving on. Yep. Now, Radley is not quite the age of Joseph in the story because it says that Joseph was 17 years old, but Radley does occupy kind of the same thing for me in that he is my youngest and he is special in that way, and he has a lot of lasts that will take place in our family, and we're going to keep him around as long as we can and not kick him out when he's 18. He can live with us till he's 60, you know? Okay. Wait, maybe I don't want to say that right now. Okay. I didn't say that. Strike that from the record. Okay. But in the story of Jacob, Jacob says, I want to show you just how much you mean to me. And so he wanted to get him something special. Now, if I was wanting to get Radley something special, I don't know if I'd pick the same thing that Jacob picked. Because it says that Jacob picked a beautiful robe. And today we've got a beautiful robe to stick on Radley. You're ready for this, right? Let's take a look to see what it was like when Joseph got his special robe. And so his robe's coming up here. It is colorful. Look at that. Yes. You're going to put that on, Rad. Oh, man. Look at this. It's like a graduation gown from every college. Okay. There we go. Dude, don't you feel special? No, probably not. I feel funny, Dad. What is this? I mean, like, look at the sleeves on this thing. And could they not have enough material, right, that they had to do it? But here's the deal, is that the Bible described they gave him a beautiful robe. And in some places, they describe it as a multicolored robe. And in that day and age, material was expensive. And not just material, but colored material was expensive. And so that meant he bought him something really, really nice. That's like up in Wisconsin if I just outfitted Radley with a brand new North Face coat. Yeah. I don't know if I'd spend the money on that for a little kid, but it would show that he's valuable, that I value him. And every time that Radley would wear this or Joe would wear his robe, it would say, hey, Dad loves me. Look what I've got. This was an item that was valuable, an item that was expensive. It was a gift that he could show off all the time. And so that's exactly what Joe did. And the response from the brothers was what? Oh, man, we're reminded every time. I mean, we already don't like you because you're the baby of the family, but wow, you get the best presents too. Yeah. And the brothers didn't like him even more. But see, when you belong, it shows. That there is something that shows. And it showed for Joseph that he belonged, that he was special to his dad because constantly he was wearing something special. Now, Radley is always going to take my name. And he's going to have my middle name and he's going to have my last name. He's stuck with it for the rest of his life. And my prayer for him is that he represents the name well. And that's the legacy and the heritage we hope that continues on with our family. But even so, I want Radley to be reminded whenever he can that of what his experiences and his life is like, and I want him to know God, and I want him to help other people find God, and that's the heritage that I want to pass on to him. So I'm glad I get to have Radley up here with me, and he'll probably never forget this. Dad, I had to wear something funny on the stage, and you wrote on my shoe. But he's also going to remember, wow, Dad, I got to help Dad teach something really important, that dads, when they care for someone, they get them something. Now, let's give Radley a hand as he heads back to his seat there. You can go ahead and keep your robe on. Many of you wrote down on your entry today to get a gift card for Father's Day about the most memorable gift that you got from your dad. And for some of you, it was a concept. And for others of you, it was an item. And for some others of you, it was an experience. But you wrote different things on there. And if I was to say that about my dad, and today's a special day because on this Father's Day, my dad is here as well as my wife's dad is here. And we're glad that they're here with us today. And but for my dad, a couple of things I remember him getting me is I remember I was working at a church in Missouri, and he came to visit me, he visited me or he talked to me on the phone, but he asked me a question. He's like, Ryan, what's your tool situation like? And I'm like, what do you mean tools? I didn't have any. He's like, power tools. Do you have any power tools? I'm like, no, I don't have any power tools. And about a week later, there was a knock on the door and a special delivery of this huge Craftsman kit of all these cordless power drills, power saws, powered lights. I mean, it was a whole kit together. And wow, I look at that and I remember, it's like, wow, my dad cares about me. And he got me the gift of power tools. One time I was visiting him, and he was showing me through his garage, and he has lots of tools in his garage, and I saw something in his garage, and it was this little set of micro screwdrivers, and I'm like, wow, those screwdrivers would be really handy working on computers. Now, he's probably thinking, you know, yeah, these screwdrivers are made for, like, wood. And I'm like, no, wow, these could be really useful precision screwdrivers. And at first, I just kind of lifted them out, like, I'm just keeping these, Dad. And I told him, I said, I'm just keeping these screwdrivers because this would be amazing. I really want these. But better yet, he didn't say, hey, put that back. He said, you know, you can have them. And see, that's what dads do. Dads like to give gifts to sons and daughters that they're proud of, that they admire, that they love. You know, when you belong, it's not just about it showing, but it's also about telling. When you belong, you know it. And I think about dads and sons, and we look at the story of Jacob and Joseph. We look at our stories, but we can't help but to look at God's story. And that God loved us so much that he sent his one and only son to this planet for a singular purpose. To make a way that we could be a part of God's family again, to pay the price for us with his life, to live a perfect life, and then to be sacrificed. To not stay dead, but to be brought back to life. And that's how much God loves us. John 3:16, God loved the world, all of us, so much that he sent his one and his only son, that whoever believes in him wouldn't perish, but would have everlasting life. And he didn't send the son just to condemn the world, but that the world through him could be saved. A unique relationship between a father and a son and saying, I am sending you. And there was a point where Jesus was beginning his ministry where he wanted to follow and set an example for us that we should get baptized. And when we make a decision to say, God, I'm all in with you, that I'm making you the main character of my life story, I need to let other people know. And the way we do that is we get water baptized. And Jesus made that example. He said, I'm going to get baptized. And he went to John the Baptist. He said, hey, I want you to baptize me. And John's like, wait, but you're Jesus. He's like, you should be baptizing me. And Jesus said, no, I'm setting an example. This is the way it's supposed to be. And so John took him, and he baptized him in the river. And the Bible describes that when Jesus was baptized, when he came up out of the water, that the Spirit of God rested on him, that it almost formed an image of like a dove. And there was a voice from heaven that said, this is my son. I'm really pleased with him. We have God letting people know that he was proud. He was proud of his boy. You see, when you belong, you know it. Your father is saying, I'm proud. And if we could be challenged by something today, maybe it should be in this area of letting both our dads and our kids know how proud we are of them. Maybe we need to tell them before it's too late. I want to share with you a video of some kids and dads who were asked to get together and just share from their heart what they feel about each other. Let's tell them now.
This is slightly intimidating.
Dad, what about me makes you proud?
Oh, man.
Dad, what about me makes you proud?
Dad, what about me makes you proud?
Oh, man. Dad, what about me makes you proud?
And I have to answer that one?
Yes.
Just about everything that you do.
You're loving. You're funny. I could go on and on.
What makes me proud about you is you just being yourself.
I had trouble with alcohol. It was actually an intervention. Even with all the other people there, you were the real reason that I made the decision to go into the treatment center that I did. And, thank you.
Thank you. You're helpful. Yeah. You forgot the funny part.
Your attention to hygiene
Dad, I'm grateful to you for choosing to stay when I was little. Why am I crying?
At the time when I'm graduating and I'm packing up and leaving, then it's really gonna hit me. And
I think about a time when, if you're not around, like, that would be awful. But, like, you're the person that would always laugh.
Dad, I'm grateful because we didn't know how long you were gonna be with us, so we're so happy that you're still here. Dad, I'm proud of you for knowing that the most important thing was to just give your kids so much time.
I've always been impressed by you. You made it easy.
Thanks.
I miss having the chance to just check in with you.
I miss your sketchbooks.
I love you.
I love you too.
You got it. We don't say it enough.
Hey.
I love you, Dad.
It doesn't compute until they're gone. So tell them now.
It's sort of weird standing so close to you.
What a powerful message this Father's Day. Tell them now. Tell them why you're proud. Tell them why you're grateful, why you're thankful for them. You see, Joe was worth it to Jacob. It was shown by the gift that was given to him. Jacob was proud of his son, and he wanted everybody to know that when you saw this boy wearing a fancy coat, you're like, wow, that dad must really like him. You know, and as we see God at work and we see what's happening in Joe's life, we can discover to see how God works in our lives. You see, if you don't remember anything else that we've shared today, I want you to remember this, that your identity is rooted in the fact that God claims us. Our identity is rooted in the fact that God claims us. He's saying, you're mine. As a matter of fact, we get this, we understand this as we read in Isaiah chapter 43, verses 1 through 3. The Message translation says, this is God speaking to the nation of Israel, but we also believe that God's speaking to you and he's speaking to me. And he says, don't be afraid. I've redeemed you. I've called your name. You're mine. When you're in over your head, I'll be there with you. When you're in rough waters, you will not go down. When you're between a rock and a hard place, it won't be a dead end. Because I am God, your personal God, the Holy of Israel, your Savior. And from this passage, we see a couple things that are highlighted on your notes where God's saying, I've redeemed you. I've paid a price for you. You were worth it. He said, I've called your name. He knows who you are. He's picked you out. You've been selected. You're not a nobody. You're somebody. God knows you and he knows your name. And he doesn't just know you, but in the next sentence, he says, you're mine. You're mine. Too often, we believe lies that tell us we're not worth it. We'll never amount to anything. We get discouraged, and we take our identity and say, was I made this way? Why do I have these experiences that I've had? Why am I like this? And we begin to doubt that we're worth anything. We say, I'm worthless. I'm nobody. But I want to tell you that when you've made a decision for Jesus, when you said, hey, Jesus, I accept you. When you say, Jesus, I'm tired of being the main character of my life story, but I need you to be the main character of my life story. I want to live life with purpose. I want to live life with reason, with vision, with focus in my life, living for you and helping others find you. Then your identity is new. The New Testament describes, say, hey, when you've made a decision for Jesus, it's like you've become a new creation, that the old life has passed away, and it's time for a new life with its identity rooted in God Himself. And so, if you're a part of God's family, realize this: you belong to God. And if you were wearing a pair of boots right now, if you were to look underneath, what would you see? You would see who you belong to, that you matter. God gives us identity. So where do you draw your identity from? If you haven't sought God for this, today the God of the universe wants to claim you. And if you've already been claimed, it's time to stop believing the lies of the enemy, and it's time to start living as a child of a king. It's time to be living believing that God said you're worth it, that He's proud of you, that He wanted you, that He knows your name, and He says that you are mine. Let's bow our heads. God, we speak to you today. We pray to you today. We're so thankful that you claim us, that you thought we were worth it, that you thought to send your son to pay the price for us. Lord, I pray that we do not leave here today without this realization that our identity is not rooted in what we think or our past or what has happened, but we have a new identity in you. We are new creations in you. And you're saying, I love you. I'm proud of you. You're mine. I know your name. There is a plan and a purpose to your life. And God, I pray that the light bulbs begin going on in our lives, that going on, God, as we realize that, wow, I am somebody because I belong to God. Thank you, God, that you give us identity. God, all over this place right now, there are people that are hurting, that need to know that you're there. And if that's you, I would say, hey, talk to God right now. He can hear your thoughts. He can hear your whispers. He can hear your prayers. And tell God exactly what you need from Him today, this day that we celebrate dads. And no matter what your experience has been with your dad, know that there's a dad up in heaven who loves you intensely and dearly. And He's saying, you're my child. That it doesn't matter. You're my child. It doesn't matter what you think or what's been said about you. You're my child. God, I pray that joy would be released in this place with the acknowledgement of that fact, that our identity is grounded in you, and you thought we were worth the price. And as we close, I have a question for you. I said it at the beginning. I said, if you came today looking for hope and for purpose, and you're looking for answers to life, let me tell you that Jesus is the answer. There is hope found in Jesus, and it all starts with a decision saying, God, I'm tired of trying to do this myself. I can't do it. I've tried and tried. I tried to be smart enough. I tried to be good enough. I tried to figure things out, but you find yourself in the exact same place of where you've always been because you were designed to be in relationship with God Himself. But it doesn't happen automatically. He doesn't make you do anything. But actually, He says, I've done the work, but will you accept it? You see, a price had to be paid for everything that we would do wrong. That we are full of sin. We are born evil. But God said, I still want a relationship with you. Someone's going to have to pay the price. And he loved you so much, he sent Jesus' son to pay the price for you. And because Jesus did that, we now have the opportunity to say yes to him. Say, God, I give you me. I want to go all in with you. You know, we're talking about Joe's story, but we're really talking about our story. And we try living our lives with ourselves as the main character, but that's not how we're designed. You see, we find there's so much more to life when we say, God, I step aside, and I want you to be the main character of my story. So how do we make that decision? The Bible says we need to acknowledge that God loved us that much. To believe that Jesus did pay that price for us and say, God, today I decide. I want to live for you. Give me hope. Give me purpose. Bring focus to my life. Be in charge. And with that prayer, today becomes day one of being a new creation with a new identity that you belong to God. If you would say, Pastor, I want that. Pastor, I want that. I want to make that decision today. I want to have that identity rooted in God today. I want to be a part of God's family today. Then I want to pray for you, but I want you to let me know real quickly just by slipping your hand up. Let me pray for you. Put your hand up in the air and say, yes, that's me. Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to invite you to pray repeating after me, and I'm going to ask everyone to pray repeating after me because no one prays alone here at Focus Church. Say, dear God, I'm sorry for everything I've done. I want you in charge of my life. I believe you love me so much. You sent your son Jesus to pay the price for me. I want to live for you. Give me hope. Give me purpose. Bring focus to my life. And I'll help others find you. In Jesus' name, amen.